Heavenly Father, once again we thank you and praise you. Once again we have this privilege to come together, Lord. We're thankful for each one that's able to be here. Lord, for those that are sick and in need, we ask that you would just touch them, give healing to their bodies, Lord, deliver them from all of these things. And Father, we pray for Adam Holmes, Lord, that you would help him, that you would be with him now as he's went into the rehab, Lord, that you would just give him strength and guidance, and Lord, that you would deliver him, Lord, from that demon that has tormented him for so many years now. Lord, we just ask your blessings upon him as we thank you and praise you. As you know each one and each need now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We do greet you in the name of the Lord. We're happy to be here. And always think I have so many things I'd like to say when I come, and then when I get here, it just goes away. And seem like I don't know if it's nervousness or what it is, but sometimes you come and you just have a hard time when I stand before the people and remembering things. And so, but I've for some time now. I've been asked to relay some greetings, and on Wednesday, I've been ministering on Wednesday mornings to on the capstone there for some time, a few weeks, and so it's been really good. So I've been able to take off on Wednesdays and then study and be able to minister there. And so several of them have asked me to give their greetings, and so I've failed to do that many times, and so I want to do it now. And I won't be able to name everybody, but and brother Joshua Kiyoko, he told me this morning, and so but there was many, and then also the girls, they've sent their greetings more than once, and so they're missing everyone, and they love you, and they appreciate you very much. And so now, as we come to the message this evening, once again I've struggled, and so I was started this way this morning, was going one way. I pulled a lot of quotes because one of the things that we talked about was Brother Branham saying that Jesus was God, and then he said Jesus was a man. And so depending on what point he was trying to make, he said, he was a man. He was a man. God can't die. Jesus was a man. But the fullness of God was in him. And so I pulled a lot of those quotes, and I don't think I brought any of them tonight, but I got on a thought from a couple of quotes that Brother Branham said, that Jesus' father was the Logos. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about the Logos. And this is one of those subjects where you could just spend many, many services, a lot of time. And so I won't be able to do that. I just thought I would take one service and just throw out a few things for you to look at. And then if I can get it together, as I told you, I feel like I'm starting over in my study folder because I lost so many things. And I had all of these quotes. I had all these, and they were mess, and I had them built into messages. And I lost them, and so now I'm really spending a lot of time going back and trying to search those things. But I want to just read, Brother Branham tells this story that we're going to read here many times. And so this is one of the places, and so we want to read out of the message the pillar of fire and two other places that I can remember. One of them is, who is God? And then one is questions and answers on Genesis. Brother Branham, he talks about the creation story. And so it's really good. And so beginning at paragraph 12 here, he's going to read from Exodus, the 23rd chapter, and starting at the 20th verse. He said, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." Brother Branham said, "Watch who this angel is. Before him, and obey his voice, and provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou will indeed obey his voice and do all that I have spoke, then I will be an enemy to thy enemies and an adversary to thy adversaries, for my angel shall go before thee. And then in the 13th chapter, the 21st and 22nd verse, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud, and by night in a pillar of fire, to give them light to go by the night. And he took not away the pillar of cloud by day, neither the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. And you think, what a glorious time that had to be to these people. And I know that they complained a lot. I know that they turned back. They did so much. But just being Israelites and being believers, and they were to a certain extent. They just weren't able to go. And so it's no different today than what we have. We have millions and millions of people believe the message, believe that God sent a prophet, yet they don't go into the depth of it, into the mysteries. They don't accept all of those things. What a glorious thing it must have been to think daily that they were walking with God, and that God was, when God told them to stop, they stopped. Brother Branham said that's a type of the Holy Spirit today. That's a type of what we're supposed to have today. And we're supposed to have it living in us. They had it there before them. And when it moved, they moved. When it stopped, they stopped. And it was giving them angel food. It was giving them water from the rock. All of those things. And those, Brother Branham saying, those are the very things we have today, spiritually speaking. That we're living that. The spiritual man is able to see God, to see the presence of God. The spiritual man is able to move by the Spirit of God and to eat the spiritual food that we have today. This is, we believe we're in that, in a spiritual feast. That this is that time that the bride and Christ has become one in union. They've married. They become one. And she has become pregnated by the Word of God to reproduce Him. And so if the marriage has taken place, there's only one place for us to be if we're feasting, and that's the wedding supper. And so it is a spiritual feast that's taking place, and we are feeding upon the body word of the Son of Man. And how different it is than the theologians had it all figured out. They had it all figured out. And here, as always, they never figure it out right. 13. That's God's word. Now, what was the angel? It was the angel of the covenant. And he, all the old things was a type of the new things to come. You believe that? The scripture says so. Being a shadow, see? And the same angel, and I'm dropping down to the blue and the red. And the same angel, if Jesus is the same angel, the angel of the covenant, was Jesus Christ. For the Bible said that Moses esteemed the riches of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt. Huh? So, who was this? It was Christ. It was Christ. So he forsook Egypt, allowing all to follow, see? Leaving all to follow and serve Christ. Christ is the Logos, of course. The one that went out of God in the beginning, which was the pillar of fire. Amen. That was Christ. That was the Logos. That was the pillar of fire. Now, let's take a little trip in a little space now. Talking about, let's go back in time, a mental vision. And I want to go back 100 million years before there was ever even a star in the sky. See, by your mind now, it was God. He's always been God. Then we're setting, see, standing here watching creation come into existence. And there's not a star, there's not nothing. Now he's saying 100 billion years here. Some of the other places, he says 1 billion. Then he says, let's go back 100 billion years. And then he says, and let's go another 100 billion. And another 100 billion. And he said, let's just keep going back and going back. And can you imagine? We think in terms of 1,000 years or 6,000 years or 7,000 years. How about hundreds and hundreds of billions of years? And he said there's nothing. There's no star, there's no air, there's no moisture, there's nothing. There's no earth, there's no sky, there's no stars, there's nothing. There's not a star. See, nothing. And then let's notice, out yonder, I see now all that space, that all is God, without form, forever, for eternities, no beginning, no ending, it's all God. Before there was even air, there was God. The very beginning of nature, of creation, was God. See? And now the Bible teaches us that the Logos went out of God. Or I might say, God becoming. And I've said this before, this is one thing that helped me in the beginning. When I first become a Christian, I didn't understand the Logos. I didn't understand what he was talking about. But here he's saying, this is the first bodily form of God. God is creating us a way that he could be seen. And this body is a pillar of fire. It's a light. It's a pillar of fire. And he said it's the Logos that went out of God. God becoming his first bodily form when the Logos went out of God. And let's look what it looked like. See, no one has seen the Father at any time, nowhere, never did and never will. And then the Logos that went out of him become like a little halo of light. And let's see it playing yonder like a child before the doorsteps of the Father. How about that for a description? See that pillar of fire there? That Logos come out of God? He's going to identify it. And now I can see him as he moves over here and he draws in his memory now, or in his mind, a picture of what the world should look like. And there's not a star, there's nothing. See? And I hear him say, let there be. And an atom broke yonder, and when it did, the sun come into existence and begin to whirl. She burned for millions of years and millions and millions of years. And after a while, I see a clinker fly off of it. Brother Branham makes the noise. What is it? The first star that flew from the sun. See? And he watches it fall for a few million years, and he stops it. And then another one flies off, and he lets it fall a few million years, and he stops it. Isn't that something? Amen. What's he doing? Writing his first Bible, the Zodiac. Putting it there. See? In the sky, in the stars. God's wrote three Bibles. One, the Zodiac. One in the pyramids. One on paper. And he's writing his first, the Zodiac. And he starts off with the Virgin. He ends up with Leo the Lion. Jesus' first coming and his second coming. And if we had time to run down through it, you would see. See? And many times, Brother Branham is talking about these things. He goes back to this. He goes back to these three Bibles. He goes back to the three comings of Christ. And he ties it in. Paragraph 17. Now the world's without form and void. The water was upon the deep. And we're in Genesis 1 now. Then he made all the plant life. And after a while, he made man in his own image. And if he made man in his own image, he had to make him something on the order of that supernatural being. When God made man, we know he made him a spirit man. And so God is a spirit. So he made him on that order, on that same order as God himself. And there was no man to till the soil, Genesis 2. And then he made man out of the dust of the earth, not in his image, see, but out of the dust of the earth, that he might give him a hand like a monkey and a foot like a bear. I don't know what he gave him, but he put him in five senses to contact his earthly home. And that's why that we know by science and by the scripture that we're mammal, we're animal, and made on the same line. But on the inside is that made in the image of God, that God made. That's right. I'm dropping down. He's gonna read Genesis. He's gonna read these scriptures now. Genesis 1, 26 through 29, and Genesis 2, 7 through 9, because these scriptures are talking about the creation of man here. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air, over the cattle of the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Now, Brother Branham is bringing this to the people, he's unfolding it, and we know that's where he created spirit man. Now he goes to Genesis chapter 2, and God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. See? Now, this actually came from a question, I think, and so, but he's in one of the other places, and so here he's bringing it that way. What connection does Genesis 1:26 have with Genesis 2:7? God created two men. And which was the man? What connection does that have? See, how does it connect up in the scripture? In Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our own image. Or, of course, listen to this now. This is something I'd like to get to. Hopefully, I'd like to get to it on Sunday. See, let us make man in our own image. Or, of course, we realize he's talking to someone. He's speaking to another being. Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the cattle of the field. And if you notice in the creation, the first thing that was created, of course, was light. And you come on down through the creation, the last thing was created was what? A man. And a woman was made after the man. See? The last thing that was created of God's creation was mankind. And when God made his first man, if you notice, he made him in the likeness of himself. He was made in the image of God. And what is God? See? Now, if we can find out what God is, we can find out what kind of man he made. Amen. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so I know that you know these things, but I'm putting it out there to go with this lesson. Now, if God created man in his own image and in his own likeness, what kind of man did he create? A spirit man. And if you'll notice, after he had made all the creation and created a spirit, that God give dominion of the cattle and the fishes and everything to the man. But in his making up there, he made a man in his own image to lead the cattle, lead the beasts of the field, just like the Holy Spirit leads the believer today. That's right. That's how man was made. He was made in the image of God to stand in the place of God and to have dominion over all of the earth, have dominion over everything. He was, in other words, Adam, the first man in the lower creations of God. The first creation was God himself. Then out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God. Now, he's saying the Logos is the Son of God. And we know if this is billions and billions of years, then we're not talking about the flesh of Jesus. We're not talking about the flesh man, the Son of God. We're talking about the Logos that came out of God. And Brother Branham said, that's the difference of us and him. Said he was in his theophany. We bypassed that. Then out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God. Then out of the Logos, which was the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Out of the Logos came forth the man. Huh? Out of the Logos came forth the man. Oh, I got a beautiful picture in my mind. And if you could take a little trip with me, let's go back 100 million years before there was a star or moon, anything in the world. Before there was a time when there was nothing. See, when it was just forever and eternity, all of ever and eternity was God. He was there in the beginning. And let's go out here to the edge of this banister and look over and see these things happening. See? And no man has seen the Father at any time. No man can see God in the bodily form, because God is not in a bodily form. See? God is a spirit. No man has seen the Father, but the only begotten of the Father hath declared him. See? Now, notice there's nothing. There's just space, no light, no darkness. There's no nothing. It just seems nothing. But in there is a great supernatural being, Jehovah God, who covered all space of all places at all times. He was from everlasting to everlasting. He's the beginning of the creation. That's God. Can't see nothing, hear nothing, not a move of an atom in the air, not nothing, no air, no nothing, but yet God was there. That was God. And let's watch for a few minutes. No man has seen that. Now that's the Father. What is that? That's the Father. Amen. That eternal Spirit, before there was anything, that was the Father. That was the Father. That's God, the Father. He's identifying. Amen. He's identifying the Son of God, the Logos, and he's identifying the eternal Spirit, the Father.
Yes, sir.
He's identifying. So, now notice, then after a while, I begin to see a little sacred light begin to form, like a little halo or something, and you could only see it by spiritual eyes to look. See, while we're looking, the whole church now, we're standing on a great big banister watching what God's doing. And we'll get down to this question here now and see how he brings it in. Now, no one has seen God. And the next thing we begin to see by eyes of supernatural looking, we see a little white light forming out there. What is that? That was called by Bible readers the Logos or the anointed or the anointing.
Amen.
That light that came out of him was called the Logos or the anointing. And as I was going to say, the part of God, see, began to develop into something so human beings could have some type of idea what it was. It was a little light moving. That was the Word of God. That light, that pillar of fire, that Logos. That's what Moses seen. That's what Paul seen. That's what the prophet seen. And that's what we have a picture of today. We have a picture. And so that Logos that came out of God. Now God gave himself birth to his Son, which was before there was even an atom or air to make an atom. See? Jesus said, glorify me, Father, with the glory that we had before the foundation of the world. There he was, the Son of God, with the Father. See, way back yonder, that's right, John 1, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. See, God unfolding himself down to a human being. Now watch how he did it, see? Back there, when this little halo comes, and we can't see nothing yet, but just by eyes of supernatural, we see a halo standing there. That's the Son of God. That's the Logos. Is that right?
Amen.
Now I can see him playing around like a little child before the Father's door with all of eternity, see? And now then, in his imaginary makeup, he began to think of what things would be. And I can hear him say, let there be light. See? And when he did, an atom bursted and the sun came into existence. And she whirled for hundreds of millions of years, forming clinkers and burning and forming like it is today, still burning, still breaking atoms. See? Verse 35. Now watch this, beautiful now. He made the sun. The first thing you know, a big clunker fell off of it, weighed about just like this earth, and it when it spewed. Then this Logos, now the Son of God, is watching it. He lets it fall for 100 million years, and he stops it. Then another one flies off. He lets it fly off, fall for millions of years, and then he stops it. Now, we're standing watching it come into existence. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? And this prophet, I don't doubt that he's seeing this. I don't doubt that he's seeing it.
That's right.
And he knows exactly what he's talking about.
Yes.
That God has let him see it. And so it just is astounding when you think about it. God was in no hurry. And if it was millions of years, to think that the stars and the galaxies and all that's there is limitless. They have no, the number is not countable. It's beyond that. They know it just goes on and on and on. And the numbers, it's beyond what man can do, what God has placed there. And then to read it like this, that God placed every one of them. He placed every one of them right there where he wanted them. What put them like they are?
That's right.
What made them in the constellation that they're in? What made them to represent this and to represent that?
Amen.
He was writing his first Bible.
Yes,
he was making it for the eternities. He was making it for us in this day, for every age, through every time. Then this Logos, here now, see, the Son of God is watching it. And he lets it fall for 100 million years and he stops it. He lets another one fly. And he lets it fly off, fall for millions of years, then he stops it. Now we're standing watching it. See, he's got something in his mind. What's he doing? He's writing his first Bible. The first Bible that man ever looked to was the stars, the zodiac. That's perfect. It dovetailed with the Bible. It starts off the first with the zodiac, the virgin. The last of the zodiac is Leo the lion. That was the first coming, second coming. See, same thing. He's going slow and he's repeating, but it's just a great thing. It's just a great thing. I want to go down to paragraph 41, questions and answers. Now notice now. Now when Jesus watched the little halo yonder, now I can see it move out to this earth and get over the top of it and begin to move it over here close to the sun. It's nothing but a big ball of ice. He's talking about the earth. He said the way that it was just frozen solid. But then he moves it over close to the sun. It's nothing but a big ball of ice. And when it begins to get melting, then great big glaciers begin to cut through up in the Northlands and come down. And when it did, it cut out Kansas and Texas, all them places, and went on into the Gulf of Mexico. But he's just speaking here of a couple places. But the world, it cut out Russia. It cut out Greenland, Iceland. It cut out Africa and India. It cut out each of those places. And the first thing you know, the whole thing was covered with water. In Genesis 1, see? The world was without form and void, and water was upon the face of the deep. Is that right? And the Spirit of God moved upon the water. And he separated the water and brought up the hills, the lands and so forth, dried it off, vegetation, everything. He made it. He made the moon. He set its boundaries of the sea so it could not pass. He got all those things together and made all those things, all the animal life, the birds, the bees, the monkeys, whatever it was, all of them here on the earth. And then he asked his question, let us. Who? Let us. Who? The Father and the Son. Let us make man in our own image. You say, brother, this sounding a lot like two. Just watch him close. Now, if a man was made something like that little sacred light yonder, something like that, it could not be seen, which is a spiritual being. He manifested or unfolded himself a little more to make a trinity of himself by Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And here was God unfolded himself now down into let us make man, which was his Son, an offspring from him, man in our own image. See, he was a supernatural being. And let him have dominion over the cattle of the field, and so forth. And the man led led the cattle and everything, like the Holy Spirit leads a real true believer today. The voice of God, see, the voice of man rather, would speak and call the cattle this way or the sheep this way, call the fishes to this water. He had dominion. Everything obeyed him. Everything obeyed him. That's right. See? But there was no man to till the soil. Genesis 2, no man to till the soil, and God formed man, see, out of the dust of the earth, and we follow it, he formed man out of the dust of the earth, and he was laying there, see, I have many pictures of it, see, I see Adam standing there, let's take it this way, God made him, he was dead as he could be, his toes like his, like roots, was sticking in the ground, he's talking about Adam. See, and God said, let there be, or breathe the breath of life into him. And he jumped and came to himself, see, breathe the breath of life into him, and he became a living soul. That's right, and he began to move. Now, sorry, I'm just reading a lot here, and I'm wondering if I'm going, let me just, give me 1 second to check myself here. Okay, All right, we're gonna go into this message. The seed shall not be heir with the shuck. Now, most of the time when Brother Branham's talking about this creation story, he is in those early messages, and so the things that he's saying, sometime we have to look at it and see that he held that after the seals. But here, this is in 1965, and he comes back and he's making some comments. And this is in paragraph 79. He was God, the Logos, the word that went out of God. When he began to brood upon the earth and brought forth marine life, when the Spirit of God, the Logos, the word, which God said, let there be, and there went the Logos, which was the word. Are you getting it? Are you getting what he's saying? He's identifying. Yes. I want to read it again. When the Spirit of God, the Logos, the Word, which God said, let there be, and there went the Logos, which was the Word. And the Word began, because all this was in the Logos, see? The whole Word of God, the whole Bible, for every age. And as the Logos began to breathe upon the earth, there came marine life, building up the bird life on up to the animal life. And finally, there comes something in the representation or look like the thing that was brooding over it, God, a man in the very image of God. And that man fell, like the seed has to fall. And then God began to brood over that after the fall. Isn't it something that everything that happens, it happens in a type? That even the fall of this man is typing the seed that had to go into the ground. How that every bit of it all comes back around in God's plan and is perfect. It's perfect. And to bring it back, and it's going to bring it back into a manifold manifestation. Verse 80. The man fell, like the seed has to fall. And then God began to brood over that after the fall. He brought up an Enoch. He brought up an Elijah. He brought up a Moses. He brought up a prophet after prophet, trying to restore that image again. Trying to restore that image again. That man that was made in his image. He wanted to bring it back. And finally, upon the earth came the genuine image of God himself, which was God, the Logos made flesh and dwelt among us. Praise God. What was it? The Logos, the Son of God. Now that same Logos has a part, has got a bride. That Logos, that Son of God, has got a bride. See, and the same Logos, This word that cannot be tampered with is brooding over the churches today, trying to bring back the word to its full manifestation. What's it trying to do? Bring back the word to its partial manifestation or its full manifestation. It's bringing it back to the full manifestation, which the prophets was carriers to that seed. And the church denominations has been carriers to that seed now. See? Notice quickly. I took some out of there. See? Jesus was God. He was. And his Father was the great Logos itself. He could not pour it all in Moses, for he was a prophet. He couldn't pour it all in Jeremiah and Isaiah or anyone else, but he poured it all in Christ. And then all that was in Christ, he poured into his church. He poured into the bride. That's right. Praise God. Now, I'm going to read this out of the resurrection of Lazarus. And I got this out of order. I just have to be honest. So you just think somebody's been preaching as long as I have, you think they wouldn't struggle. You think it would just be all there, all easy, all laid out. It don't matter how old you are, it don't matter how long you've been doing it. Well, maybe for other people, but anyways, I struggled today. I really struggled today, and I studied on these things this morning, and then I thought there's no way I'm going to get it together on this because I was starting from scratch. I didn't have no notes, none of that in my folders that I saved over the years, and so I just laid it down, and I picked up something else, and I got excited about that, and so I spent a few hours on that. After preaching this morning, and I was excited about that, and it was actually part of what something the Lord gave me the other day for Easter, and so I started on that. And I thought this is really good. I'm going to preach this, and so I did that for a few hours, and then just at about an hour ago, I went back, and so then you come and you feel like you're just unorganized and don't got it together. But the one thing about it, the word is real and the word is true and the word is perfect. No matter how imperfect I am, this is perfect. And so I just thank God for that. But we're going to read this, and you're going to get out early tonight. So you'll be okay with that. So verse 31. Now God in his great universe, could you just imagine? Let me give you a small picture of what I think God is. What the Trinity of God is, see? There is different arguments in the world concerning the Trinity of God. All of them believe the same thing, but the devils just got between them and got them all broke up. That's all. And God is just like the air, see? He fills all the universe. His Son has to be born of, see? So the Logos, which was the Son of God that went out of God, that brooded over the earth. See? And now let's just picture this. This being a little white halo coming out of that space. That was the Son of God, the Logos. And there it was in space moving around like a child playing before the door of its parents. And he drawled in his mind what it should be. He had in his mind the Son, the Logos. The Logos had in his mind what it was going to be and what it was going to do, and he began to create. I can hear him look around and say, there was nothing. See, there was nothing nowhere, just vastness of space. The Father covered all the space. See, it was just the great eternal spirit. And then this God become bodilized down to the Logos. This eternal spirit now made a body out of this light and began where he began to come into a form that he could be seen. There wasn't even nobody yet to see him, but he's now becoming into a form because he was just spirit form. Now he's coming into the form of the pillar of fire, into the form of the Logos, in the form of the Word. The Word is beginning to be spoken. And it begins to be spoken, and here comes the pillar of fire. And see, an atom bursted yonder. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. And I can hear him say, "Let there be light." And an atom bursted yonder, and the sun come into existence. Deity. See? And she began to whirl. Millions of years rolled by. And after a while, a piece flew off of it. See, a star. And he stood out there, and he watched it. And it went down, and he stopped it over here. And after a while, it fell a few million years. See? And off went another one. And he let it fall near a certain place, and he stopped it. And what's he doing? He's got in his mind now that someday there will be an earth, that there will be mankind on the earth. He's planning all this, and you know, every time Brother Branham tells, not every time, but many of the times Brother Branham is given this creation story, he tells it the same way. The same way. How it's breaking off and falls for millions of years, and he stops it. And then he reiterates here about the zodiac and writing the Bible. I'm going to drop down to verse 34. Then after he got all of his creation made, he said, "Let us," plural, "make man in our," plural, "own image." Now if God is unseen, if the Logos was in the form, just mystically speaking, I think that's what he's saying, drama in the form of a halo, then it's supernatural. Then he had to make a man in his own image. See, John 4 says that God is a spirit. And he had to make a spirit man, and he brought it down now. There's deity, cannot be seen. Deity is the supernatural. Then he brings it down from a sacred halo to a little white cloud, something that's more visible, that's man. He give him the rulership over the kingdom, see? He governs the beast, like the Holy Spirit leads the church today. But there was no man to till the soil. And he put a man, then he put a man in the image of man on the earth, created him out of the dust of the earth. He created a supernatural being in his image. A spirit man in his image. And he put him over all things. And even in that form, he told him to multiply and replenish the earth. In that form. And then he made a flesh man that could operate by five senses. And that's where the man got messed up. Verse 35. And there's where science gets mixed up. They say, no, he might have given him a hand like a monkey, or might have given him a face like a chimpanzee. See, he might have given him a foot like a bear. But God put a soul in a man. And this white cloud deity came down, not in the animal, in the man. And if they want to go back and dig up some old bones, let them dig up as many as they want to. All the fossils, that doesn't have a thing to do on the bearing of the Word of God, there he is. And you look at what science has done. And I don't know what it is now, and I don't know how much they have found and how much they have proven. But I know that 30-something years ago, I was talking to somebody that studied the dinosaurs and studied a lot of that stuff. I think now maybe they found more. I don't know, because I haven't looked at it in a long time. But 30 something years ago, I was talking to somebody, and I asked him, and I looked at all, and dinosaurs was big, and people loved dinosaurs, and the children loved dinosaurs, and they went to these places, and they had all of these great displays of these massive, massive dinosaurs. And so I was reading, and I had somebody, it was a professor, I think maybe from the college there in Davison, and I was talking to him, and I was saying, how did they do this? I said, are all of these dinosaurs, all of these bones, They found these things perfectly like this. They were able to dig them up and this whole body and see what it was. And he said, no. He said, a lot of these dinosaurs that you see, they found one bone. They found one bone. And that massive dinosaur, that thing, it's got these wings, and it looks like something off a TV, and it can fly and looks just crazy. He said, one bone. And then they come up with these creatures. And like I said, I don't know. I don't study it. Probably some of you could tell me now what they have found, if they have found. But at that time, a lot of it is man's imagination. I was reading the other morning, and Brother Branham was talking to a young man who had just graduated from college. And he had a degree, and he was a very smart boy, and he was in science. And as that boy was graduating, his professor told him, he told him something like 200 scientists, said these great leaders in the scientific fields. He said every one of them has got books that they have printed. And he said, if you took every one of those books, he said, it would take you a couple years to read them all day, every day, for 2 years. And he said, but when you get done reading them, 99% of that's going to be obsolete. And all of that, they're saying they proved it. They proved it. They proved it. And they haven't proven anything. Most of it's not even real. I mean, it's real, but they haven't got it right. They haven't got it right. And it's been happening. Brother Branham gave the example one time of the French scientist. Said if a ball ever rolled more than 30 miles an hour, it'd lift off the earth. He said, they don't refer back to that. There's more fake in this day than there's ever been. Yes, we have more advancement than we ever had. And it's amazing what's being done. It's amazing where they're going and the progress that they made. But there, at the same time, there's insanity in that intellect. I just thank God there's somebody there now that is bringing some of this back down to earth. That's saying there's only two genders. It's stopping some of this nonsense. To me, that was the worst. The borders is bad. Everything was bad. But what they were putting in the children, that was the worst. That was the worst one. And there's a lot of children already that are saying, you know, they instructed me. They encouraged me. They talked me into this. And now here I am. I'm starting to grow up. And I'm thinking, I want to have a child. And I'll never be able to have children. It's messed up. This white cloud deity came down, not in the animal, but in the man. See, and let me drop down the next paragraph. Then here's this man, and now the man sinned. And when he sinned and fell, then that little cloud in there became marred and black. Then the Logos came down and was made flesh and dwelt among us to redeem this man back to the love of the Father. And he came in by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he chased sin out of the human and brings man back again into fellowship with God. You believe that? I do. Amen. Now notice, there's where you are. That's what's the matter with you Pentecostals. It's my lot this afternoon to preach. And I have a right. And I have a right here at the platform. And I don't never want to know any person from the flesh when I'm standing here. That's what's the matter with the Pentecostal people. They don't recognize who they are. Your sons and daughters of God. See? Jesus, it was one time quoted in the scripture. Ye are gods. You are gods. And if we become in spirit sons of God, deity dwells in the man. Hallelujah. Then you talk about blind eyes being open. They said nothing impossible to God. God said nothing is impossible to you. If you'll believe, not with God, but you, deity is in man. Where is it? It's in man. Man was made in the image of God. The very God that stood back there on that, he's saying mythical platform on the eternities, rolled worlds off his hands, created these things, give you the privilege to be a son. And you're a part of him. And God dwells in mankind, and man himself is deity. Hallelujah. There you are. It might choke you, but study it over it a little while. And I deleted the last part somehow. I didn't mean to. But Brother Branham said, he's talking about this deity. And he's talking about God said, you ask whatever you will. And he said, the reason it don't happen is because people don't believe it. He said, they don't believe it. He said, but God put it in you. He put it in you. Amen. And the Word and the Spirit, it's here and it's in his wife. That deity is in you. It was in Adam. It was there in the beginning and it's still here tonight. And it's the thing that's moving us. It's the thing that's driving us. It's the thing that's making us want to express what God had in his mind for this day. And sometimes we don't realize it. Sometimes we maybe get discouraged, or maybe we get tired, whatever we get. But God is, he's moving you. I seen where Brother Gumba had ministered today on the, was putting some things together, and I thought it excited me. It excited me because he was there. I could see he was there in his prayer closet, his study, and he didn't have nobody. He wasn't preaching to nobody, but knowing that people are looking for it. They're looking for it, and there's more that is listening in later. They're coming to it later than are when we're here, or any time that you're doing it live. There's more people coming later, and so it just thinking about that desire, and knowing that there's people out there wanting it, and they're waiting for it. And it's what he. I didn't get to listen to it. But I listened to a little bit, and he was talking about some of them had asked him questions, and the previous recordings wasn't good, and so he was bringing it there. Why? Because there was a desire. There's a desire there for it. And so as long as there's a desire, God's going to move somebody. He's going to move somebody to put it out there. And so I thank God. I thank God. And it's the thing that motivates you every day. It's the thing that makes you live this every day. It's the thing that is living in you, that is expressing Jesus Christ. And I thank God. I thank God for it. Amen. So I'm going to ask Brother Gumba if you'll come and dismiss us tonight in a word of prayer. We appreciate you. And so you just have to overlook my... all of my ways. So, God bless you, brother. Amen. Appreciate you so much.
God bless you. Today, as another year, are you going to act tomorrow? Oh, this is a good day because you're not going to stay here for long. You need to go home. And thank you. Thank you, Brother Don, for the good sermon. You're saying that you're struggling, but those quotes are very, very, very good. Sometimes we think that it's low. Sometimes we think that people understand. And those things are very good. They're very confusing. When you hear about one God and three gods, and two gods. There's all these doctrines, rather. And when these quotes are brought together like that, they really straighten up our minds about what God is talking about when he's saying that he's not three gods. You cannot make three gods and give it to an Israelite. That's what he's saying. And when you bring them like this, you think that you're preaching. I've realized that, brother, when something comes to your heart, don't feel like we are up here, we don't need it. If God puts it in your heart, bring it. We need it. Somebody needs it. And when it comes, maybe you have read it somewhere, maybe you have read those books, but when it comes from here, the Lord is speaking, you hear it, and it's kind of a new thing in your heart, and it's so, so good. And when it comes down there to encouraging us that the deity is in us, he's come down and tabernacled in us. Just like he tabernacled in Brother Branham and was doing things, so he's here. Tabernacled in us. And he's identifying himself with us, with the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's so great. That's so sweet. And I hope and understand, trust that it has been a help.
Amen.
This kind of teaching, how he's not one, like a finger. I don't know how many people in this message don't know that he's not one like a finger. Thousands and thousands of the message believers, they believe like he's one like that, and his name is the Lord Jesus. That's where they're stuck.
Amen.
When these things are brought like this, this is quite a help to us and to everybody. Thank you very much, Brother Don, for the labor. I know how you feel sometimes. And sometimes ministers feel like that. I feel like I have underperformed. I feel like it's not coming out right. It's helping somebody. The purpose that the Lord put it in your heart is for a purpose.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much you struggle. And a minister struggles. And why, by the way, why you struggle is not because you don't know it. It's not because you don't know it. And it's not because you're not bringing it. It's because you are feeling like this is so small, this is good. It's good because it was put there by the prophet for a purpose. God put it there for a purpose, brother.
Yeah.
And the purpose, our work is to say it. Just say it. Just bring it here. Say it. There he says it. Somebody somewhere is a seed that is being planted somewhere and it's helping somebody. Praise be to God. And you know something else, Brother Don? Sometimes they don't get it. But it creates questions in them.
Yeah.
And they ask questions. And they go to search. They go, what did he say here? What is it here? And by searching, something else is created. And over there, he finds some things. But when you study this message, it's just like what he said in the seventh seal. In the seventh seal, he said, it's like, a spark. You know, like something that splashes like that. And it splashes to very many stars here, and that star splashes many stars here. That's how it goes. You study, you try to study something, and it takes you over here. And sometimes you got to keep some things aside to follow a certain route that you want, because it's so much. You go there, you go over here, you go here, and you cannot. When God speaks, brother, there's a purpose that is speaking these things. God don't entertain. It's not for entertainment. It's for something. God, there's a child of God that wants it somewhere.
Amen.
I need it. I need it. I love it. I love it. When you read those things, when you preach it, I love it. It's so sweet to me. And thank you very much, Brother Don. We love it. We like it so much. Let's pray. We thank you, Father. We love you, Father, and we know when you speak, Father, you are speaking to us. This word is for your children. It's only your children, Lord God, who hears it, Father. You made them, Lord God, have something in their hearts, Father, that understands it, that loves it, Father. We love it. Thank you for everything that you do to us. Thank you for this message, Lord. Thank you for the brothers and sisters, the singing and everything, Lord. Thank you for Brother Don, Lord, laboring, Lord God, and trying to do everything that he can, Lord. In the kingdom, Father, we thank you for him, Lord God. Thank you for every sister. Thank you for every brother, Lord God. Brothers that are not able to come, like Richard, Father, and Edith, Lord, be with them. Sister Evelyn, Lord, bless them. Sister Esther and everybody, Lord God, bless them, Lord God, as you bless us now. Dismiss us with a blessing. Each one of us is our prayer now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.
Amen.
Amen.